You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
What's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
Hey, guys. It's Kat.
And on this episode, we have a very special guest. She is super popular on TikTok and offers a pretty unique view of the supernatural / paranormal. It's Savannah. Yeah. Savannah, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thanks y'all for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can find Savannah on TikTok at that witch up the holla, H-O-L-L-E-R. Your content is really cool. One thing we love to find out before we jump into the episode is where our guests fall on what we call the Believometer. Zero meaning ghosts / supernatural are not real. 10, they absolutely are. Where do you fall on that scale?
11.
11.
Nice.
Awesome.
We like a good 11.
Well, Savannah, what got you into sharing your content? Can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do share online?
Yeah, I just kind of had one video pop off over the summer and I leaned into it a little bit. And then I was like, hey, but do y'all want to talk about ghosts? Because let's talk about ghosts. And I've just been intentionally putting out more paranormal content since then. But the meat of what I produce is related to folk magic, specifically Appalachian folk magic.
So are you from that area? Are you from or near the Appalachian Trail?
Yeah, like in the center, like heart of a coal country area.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not there right now. We had to move, but yeah, that's where I'm from.
I'm sure you get a lot of people telling you this, but your accent is absolutely amazing. So I'm looking forward to that from a audio standpoint. Well, yeah. So let's kind of start with, you know, any experiences that you've had, and then we can kind of broaden it to the Appalachian area and what can tell us about that. So how old were you when you first experienced something supernatural?
I was so young that I only have very, very vague memories. I was probably only like one. I'm a medium. Just naturally born. I don't know. It's just started off weird. Things started off weird right from the get-go, and they've been weird ever since.
It's just always been like another sense for you. You haven't known anything different than that. That's cool.
No.
Is that like honing your medium skills? Is that something you've had to work on, or has it always been like pretty clear and natural?
It's always been natural, but it has been something that has kind of ebbed and flowed through different phases of life. Specifically during like the first time I got pregnant, everything just went away, like all at once, like almost overnight. All of a sudden I could not see or hear. anything. I was not dreaming anymore. Everything was gone. And I'm like, I don't know what is going on. What did this kid just like sucked all the gifts right out of me? I don't know what is happening. But it came back with a vengeance with the next child. And that child is also gifted. So whereas the first one, he has no interest. He does not believe in anything at all. So I don't know. It's weird. It's weird kind of how it's just naturally done its own thing.
I've never thought about it like with pregnancy. I've heard pregnancy dreaming can be really wild with like all the hormone increasing and stuff. And that's fascinating that you have experienced one without any dreams or like any of your gifts. And then boom, it's all back the next one. Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And so what happened when you were one to kind of kickstart all of this?
We lived on Shaw Air Force Base, and my mom noticed while I was out in the backyard, I kept trying to go to the fence and trying to get the attention of something past the fence. There was nobody there. And I kept talking about how I wanted to play with the balloon man. The balloon man was here to play with me. And so she's like, okay, imaginary friend type stuff. And I was like a hyperlexic, hypervocal child. So I've just verbalized everything all the time. I know one sounds kind of young to be like doing that, but I could very, very clearly communicate. And then a couple days later in the backyard again. And this time the blue man is in the backyard with us, playing with us. And so that was cool. And then she's like a week later, I'm sitting at the dinner table and there's a sliding glass door to the backyard. And I'm talking about the blue man is outside the door. He wants to come inside and meet with us. Ooh. And she's like, okay, this is kind of getting a little weird now. Like that's, you know, he's just getting closer and closer and closer. And then finally one night I woke up screaming that the blue man was in my closet and he was coming to take me. Like he needed me to be with him. Yeah. So that was my first that I can kind of vaguely remember that night specifically, the blue man being in my closet. I always thought it was interesting that I called him the blue man because the Air Force dress uniform.
Oh,
it's blues.
Do you remember what this entity looked like?
I have the very, very vague memory of a young man in old dress blues, probably like 60s, 70s era Air Force dress blues, clean shaven.
So not a deceased member of the Blue Man group.
No, unfortunately. Okay. That probably would have been much scarier.
Yeah.
You beat me to it. I had a Blue Man joke ready to go too. But...
Wow. So funny and original, you two.
Yeah, you know us. That's what people say. Man, you really started out with a pretty strong experience then. And did your family believe you right from the beginning? Or how long did it take for them to kind of catch on to what was happening to you?
They did believe me right off the bat. My parents were really young. My parents were teenagers when they had me. I don't know. There was something about that connection where they're just being young kids and being from Appalachia. Everybody believes.
Yeah.
In the supernatural. We don't talk about it. That's taboo. We're not going to discuss it, but everybody knows somebody who has seen something. Everybody has their own stories.
Did you continue to have things happen that were that vivid to you? Like, was there something else as like a toddler that really sticks out to you that happened?
In every single house that we lived in, we just continued to have more and more experiences. So we like moved from that house into the next house to get, you know, size up a little bit. There was this cat, this ghost cat that it wasn't just me, like multiple members of the family saw this cat wandering around the house, like regularly, lots and lots of shadow people all the time. The third house that we lived in on base was when we had the biggest like ordeal. My dad was stationed in Korea for a year. And so it was just my mom and three kids. And we had some like college students staying with us. And we had some intense, terrifying activity that occurred in that house that most people would probably describe as demonic.
Is that how you would describe it?
I have a complicated relationship with calling anything demonic. My parents became pastors when I was in the third grade. We were very heavily involved in deliverance ministry, the specific flavor of Christianity that we were in. Everything was a demon.
Gotcha.
And I mean, I have seen things that I don't know how to categorize in any other way, but honestly, the vast majority of any person's home that I had to go to pray over and to discern what was going on, 9 times out of 10, it was just a mental health issue.
Yeah.
That we just, you know, well, it's a demon. It's a demon. So I'm very cautious to call anything a demon now. But it was intense and dark and unexplainable.
Well, Savannah, I would love to hear about that home that had that pretty intense activity.
So I was 5, and then I had a 2-year-old sister and a newborn sister. From moving in, it was just kind of icky. You know, like you go into a place and it just feels like, ugh, like I don't know what was going on before we got here, but this just does not feel good. The vibe's rough. The first thing that anybody started to notice was that the lights in the closets would go on and off by themselves. And this is old base housing. These are pull chain lights that you have to pull to, like, really, you know, and you still might have to pull it a few times to get it to go. Everything in base housing at that point was falling apart. You would hear the click of the chain. And you could see, you know, the light coming out from the bottom of the closet. And you're like, okay, well, that's weird. But all of the other houses have been kind of weird too. So ignore it is always the go-to. Just let's just, you know, not pay too much attention to it. Don't tell the kids, that sort of thing. We were all seeing it anyways. But it got super dramatic, super fast. Like, we went from pull chain closets to these just hulking shadow figures just walking up and down the stairs, just regularly, just walking up and down the stairs. We started getting in trouble a lot because my mom thought we were up running around at night. We were not. I mean, she went as far as to, like, lock us in our rooms because she's like, you cannot just be running at all hours of the night. Nobody was doing that.
Yeah.
But you could hear it. Just up and down the stairs, like heavy boots up and down the stairs all the time. And then we started to get touched. You'd be walking by and something pull you, like, towards the stairs from the top of the stair, just pull you down. Scratches, the overall just like depression and anger and just nasty emotion just filled the house. It was just like, you walked inside and it was just this tangible darkness, like all the time. We would be playing in the backyard and looking in upstairs, and there would be a man in the window. My dad's in Korea. Why is there a man in the window?
Right.
Yeah. And that used to, oh my God, that used to scare the hell out of me. I would go running inside screaming for my mom, making sure she was okay. Obviously, there was never anybody there. You walk around, there's never anyone there. It just got really dark really fast. We were getting, like, physically assaulted. Nobody could sleep. And then one night, my mom took us to, they were having like some revival or something at church with, yes, they called him a prophet. It's air quotes on literally all of the things. I don't know. I will say he knew something because he stopped in the middle of the service and walked directly to my mom and says, you need to go home right now and pray over your house. And she's like, oh, okay. So she just sat there like, okay, like, yeah, after church, I'll pray over my house. And she's like, no, you have to go now. You're in danger. So we left. Why did they send this young woman with her 3 small children home by herself to deal with whatever is at the house? I don't know, but they did. And she left and she took us home and she locked all 3 of us in my room and she started to pray. And she had turned on like worship music and I could hear walking around praying over things. But then this sound like thunder, like this rumbly, grumbly sound just kind of like filled the whole house. And things started to shake. Things in our bedroom started to move around. I had these absolutely awful clown statues that like hung from a swing, but they were like stationary. It wasn't supposed to move. They started to swing.
Oh gosh.
Violently.
Of course they're clowns.
Of course. I have been terrified since then. I cannot do clowns. Supposed to take my kids to the circus next month. Don't know if I can handle it.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And it sounds like pounding. Like it sounds like someone is just punching the walls. And so she's praying and it's getting louder and it's getting louder and it's getting louder. And it sounds like a freaking tornado is ripping through the house. And I finally hear her scream, like, you have to leave now. And what she says happened was she was on the steps. It was like a set of steps and then a little flat and then a set of steps this way. So she was on that little flat. And she said there was just this massive black shadow at the top of the steps. And she screamed at it that it had to leave. And finally, it ran down the stairs past her. And she said she felt the wind come off of this thing. And it stopped at the bottom of the steps, looked back up at her, and then whoosh, and we heard the door, front door close.
My God.
And everything kind of settled down a little bit for a while. I don't think it went away completely. It was still kind of gross there until we moved, mm-hmm. but the violent part of it did stop.
And the fact that he sent y'all home to deal with that out of the blue.
Yeah.
Your mom hadn't mentioned it to anyone or. Well, I'm always curious. I grew up in the church and the Bible mentioned mediums, but it also says never consult them. But that means that if you're Christian, you believe in mediums. And I guess where I'm going with this is like how many mediums are in the church still practicing and have those true gifts?
Oh, there's tons.
I don't
we
have
just
like
label it differently.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if I don't have like a religious connection to it anymore, but believe that people have spiritual connections through like mediumship, they've got to be all throughout the church and stuff like that too.
Obviously the church was a pretty big part of your life, especially around that time. Do you feel the kind of intense religious nature of your family ignited any of that supernatural activity? Or do you think it was more of just a way to thwart that activity?
I definitely think we fed into it a lot because of it. Because we were raised hearing, you know, the devil is always lurking around, prowling like a lion, seeking those who he'll destroy, who he'll devour. So it was like you were supposed to be on guard at all times. And if you're expecting demons to be everywhere, you're going to find demons everywhere. And a lot, once we were teenagers and we were actively going out and like helping people, which was cool. We were helping people. They were being helped. We were taking on a lot of things we should not have been taking on, especially like as a literal child should not have been doing that. And we suffered for it at home. Like the activity that we generated because of our environment, because of what we were involved in, was intense and it was just bad.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to walgreens.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
And at what point did you kind of understand that you have gifts and that you're a medium? And once you understood that, were you able to use that to, you know, we've heard mediums tell us that they can kind of turn off their ability to take in, you know, like the supernatural attention. Did that happen for you as well?
I was in middle school when I realized I'm like, I definitely have these abilities, these giftings, but I was probably like 18 before I finally figured out how to put a veil up and not allow things to just mess with me all the time. I'm much better at it now that I have left the church and I'm not constantly surrounded by it at all times.
Yeah,
it was a strain.
Well, spoiler, I was just about to ask you if that your mediumship gifts and what you were able to see that others were not, if it conflicted with the ideals of the church and caused a split. But I mean, I don't know if that's why, but it sounds like something did.
That isn't what made me leave. I attended a different church once I met my husband, and his parents were the pastors, and they were very much kind of, we don't want the woo-woo here. So I had to learn how to like tone it down a lot. Thought I was doing a good job. I was not. But the churches that I grew up in, it was at, I mean, I got called to go to other churches to help their pastors to figure out what was going on. My specific giftings, I'm not like an evidential medium that just like, I'm going to talk to your dead grandpa and he's going to show me birds or something. I'm going to walk into a room and tell you this happened in this room. These people are involved or were involved. And I can see that you are struggling with alcoholism right now, or that dude, she is cheating on his wife right now. Like, that's my kind of specific.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't even know if I should call myself a medium, more of like a shadow worker, that I am a little more in control of now, but at that time I was not in control of it. And I would venture to say was a bit exploited for that gift.
Yeah.
That's kind of a story we haven't heard before on the podcast, where somebody has those gifts and was kind of intertwined with the church.
That's a big burden.
Yeah. So kind of that intense religious atmosphere, was that pretty common for the part of the like where you grew up? Like, were churches like that all over that area?
Oh yeah, I grew up in the Bible Belt. That's still a thing right now. I've noticed that there's been a big turn intentionally towards deliverance and getting more into seeing the demons and seeing the witches everywhere with the rise of people like Greg Locke and other TikTok pastors and that sort of thing. It's becoming heavily prevalent, and it's concerning, like, to say the least. So yeah, it's common.
Do you think that, like, in a totally kind of cynical mindset, like, that's kind of a way to recruit younger people who may be more interested in more like new age spirituality and like more the woo-woo kind of stuff?
Absolutely. And I think there's such, at the same time, this is rising up in the church, but there's also been a big exodus from the church since like 2020, where people are getting more into just general spirituality and learning how to manifest and all of the sorts. And the Christian pastors that are paying attention to that are using the Christianese versions of those things a lot more than they used to.
Is your family still heavily involved with the church?
I left first, and my parents are on their own somewhat deconstruction journey. I don't really ask about it. I don't want to influence it in any way. I want them to naturally find whatever truths and peace they are looking for. My in-laws, I live in their yard now in my camper. They are still actively pastors. So it's complicated.
Yeah. And I was just about to say, what do they think about your social media presence?
We don't talk about it. it's just not brought up. Don't mention it.
Your husband's never like, hey, do you know Savannah's got, and you just like kick him under the table, like, nope, we're not going into this.
Oh, he tries to like prod every now and then, but they so don't want anything to do with it that it's just change the subject immediately. Like, let's just all pretend to be happy and we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Not even like scripted lore about the Appalachian area, like you ever bring up Bigfoot or soft subjects
like
that?
Now, my father-in-law is like super duper into like the Bigfoot and Skinwalker Ranch shows, so we've been able to kind of connect up that a little bit. And yes, I like, I have an in, like, might make him like me eventually. That's about it.
I could just see you being like, yeah, Bigfoot's really cool. Do you know somebody died in that corner of your house like 30 years ago? And he's like, ah.
Yeah, it's always been no, don't, absolutely not. Do not talk about that.
Well, not to harp on this part of it too much, but it's just so interesting, the thought of you as a teenager kind of being paraded around to homes to sever some demonic connection with a family or a house.
Also, we all have like deconstruction in our recent or longer past from the church. So
I thought you were going to be like, we all have demons in our homes. Like, that's what she's talking about.
Why we're like so interested in that topic. Because it feels like a very safe place to talk about it if you're comfortable with that.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Kind of one of my final questions about that period of your life. Is there any very memorable story, or is there a memorable story you could share about that time when you were going to somebody's house and you feel like you really did accomplish helping that person with something that was very intense for them or their family?
Yeah, I mean, there were several times where I remember there was one person who, when I walked in, immediately I saw her sexual assault play out in front of me. Yeah. And there was some just heavy, even like a physical manifestation of that grief and of that trauma was just like present in that place. And at the time, that was demon. But now looking back, I mean, she was just so overwhelmed and so traumatized. Like, it had just taken on an almost physical form. And we were able to help her at different stages. As she healed, as she got help for that, it became easier and the activity decreased. But then there were other times where absolutely not. Like, this person was just sick. And they needed to like maybe go to the hospital. Like, this is just not okay. One time I saw someone levitate. That's Whoa. Always a conversation starter.
What? Yeah. I'm sorry. What? light
was
as
it
a feather?
Like exorcism or something like that?
It turned into it real quick.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
They start coming up off the ground and you're, well, this, I guess we're doing this right now. Me and you, let's go. Yeah.
Was it just you there or other people?
No. I never went alone. I always had my parents with me, at least, if not some other adults from the church.
Mm-hmm. When that happens, are you able to see an entity causing that? Or is it just, it's happening and you know there's something supernatural taking place?
At times, the majority of the time when there was something that when it was occurring and I don't have any other word for it than demon, I could literally see. I hate saying I could see a demon. Whatever it was, I could actually physically see the entity that was present.
And so do you immediately start verbally kind of going after or attacking that entity to stop the possession or levitation of that person? Like, how do you resolve that issue?
What I allowed my role to be, because they tried to kind of put me in that role for me to take the lead and me to do the casting out. And it was too much. It was just too much. I'm like, I'm the only one with eyes and ears on the situation. Like, y'all can handle the rest. I would just verbally describe what I was seeing, what I was feeling, what I was hearing, tell everyone else. I'm like, and now you guys do the thing. And so let them go into the deliverance part of things.
And is there anything that you see in like movies and media that they get right about that situation, or they get incredibly wrong about that situation?
It's usually, God, the majority of movies are just Catholic propaganda. And I have such a hard time even enjoying them anymore, which sucks because I used to be a horror buff. Occasionally, they're very close to reality, but the majority of the time it's completely overdramatized, like as to what actually occurs in real life.
I got you. So, for example, the movie Deliverance,
that's not really like a supernatural one, isn't it? Deliverance? That's like people go on like a river camping or, trip and get about kidnapped. Wait. Are you thinking of The Exorcist?
That's Banjos.
Exorcist. Thank you.
Yeah. Dueling Banjos.
Sorry. I was like, wait, JJ's right. What am I thinking about? Exorcist. Sorry. We had this weird thing happen once
Dueling
where we had
Banjos.
Right.
But like, that's the movie name?
No, it's a song that like the little kid.
That's a different movie, Dueling Banjos. That's like a YouTube video.
Like an inbred kid that plays the banjo. And
I know the song.
Oh, okay.
I got confused with how it was related to the conversation, but I'm in. Here we go.
But The Exorcist, you know, that's like, I think, an example a lot of people go to. We randomly had a guest on who was not on for anything to do with The Exorcist. And she was like, oh, yeah, my great uncle was one of the
priests.
Exorcisers. Yeah. Who was at the actual, you know, so that movie, for example, you know, with like the vomit and all that stuff, do you feel like that's a little over dramatized or?
And the Dueling Banjos.
Completely. Completely. Never seen anybody's head, you know, do a full 360. I have seen people throw up like after, like, it's almost just this like physical release. I don't know why that happens. Not to that degree, to the Exorcist degree of throwing up. But I have, people do throw up sometimes.
Just like a normal amount of throw up.
Just, yes, you know, whatever. There's the normal stomach contents already were.
Right.
That's a good question.
There's not like a vortex of stuff like in the movie.
Spewing. No.
Yeah.
We call that calling dinosaurs in my house when somebody has to vomit. Not sure if anybody else does that.
That's
so
cute.
First off, thank you for sharing all that. We really dug around in that for a while, and I appreciate you being vulnerable enough to, I mean, that's really one of the more fascinating things I've heard on this podcast. So thanks for sharing that. As we have like 15 minutes essentially to kind of wrap up here. I would love for you to share some of your favorite things about the Appalachian, the supernatural lore or crypto, whatever it is that really excites you. We would love to hear about that.
It's definitely the goblins. It's absolutely the boogers that are hiding in the hills, that live in the cave systems.
What?
That are hiding out in the old, the abandoned mines. That's 100% my, like, passion for some reason. Well, the reason is because I saw a booger when I was a child. And I've just kind of been obsessed with that since then. Still kind of think maybe they're aliens. Maybe it's some, like, fair folk situation. I don't know. Maybe it's all the same thing. But there's something. There is something in those hills that looks just like little green goblins, greenish, grayish goblins. And that's my favorite.
What would...
Go ahead.
Like, how... Okay, so, like, aside from the color, like, how would you describe what they look like?
Little, short, child-sized, abnormally large head. It had these... I guess they were, like, ears that kind of just, like, fanned out. I don't recall seeing a mouth. I keep trying to, like, remember. I can't dig out any real features here other than, like, maybe some nose nostrils, but not really a real nose. Always kind of hunched and, like, just creepy and, like, a weird cross between a fairy tale goblin and, like, a little gray alien.
Weird. Oh, and man.
Is that something we can, like, Google to learn more about? This is
I'm literally doing
phenomenon.
This now.
Okay.
There's a really cool documentary series called Hellier, which I found as an adult, and I was screaming, crying, throwing up, listening to them describe what had been seen, because it was, like, exactly what I saw as a child. And I still kind of had thought that maybe I made that up. Like, even though I had seen it, my sister had seen it, my papa had seen it, his brother had seen it, we had cousins that have seen it. Many people have seen these creatures, and I still kind of thought I was making it up. There's a whole documentary out there on it. The Kelly Hopkinsville goblins, very, very similar appearance-wise from what I gather. It's a rabbit hole. It's a rabbit hole for sure.
Dude, that's wild. Well, if our audience wants to learn more about all this awesome content you have on TikTok, learn more about you and your story, where's the best place for them to do that?
TikTok is the best place. I'm That Witch Up the Holler. You can check out my link tree for any other things I've got going on and all of the other places I am on the internet.
Do you do any voiceover work?
I haven't started, but now I have this equipment and I'm like, that would be super fun. So I'm looking into it. I have been asked about it a couple times. So
you would be, I feel like you would be amazing at doing that. Kat and DJ, did you have any more questions before we wrap up?
Well, before we go, are you getting any, like, in your face bad energy from the three of us? Just have to ask before.
Why
we
did
go
that
in.
To be bad energy? What about good
energy? Well, she said, good energy too. Any big energy from us, just in
trying
case.
Trying to be positive in 2024.
Nothing super duper overwhelming. Nothing,
that's what I meant.
Nothing crazy going on.
See, I went for bad energy because I figured if it was big, it was probably more something she wanted to warn
us
about.
It's usually bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for that goblin behind you guys.
Stop. My blind cat just walked by when you said that.
Yeah, she looks a little goblin-esque. So.
With that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
I'm Kat.
I'm Savannah.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.